with Mo. My name is Mo Reese. More with Mo is brought to you by the fine people at JulieLand.com. Today, as always, I am joined by the ultimate kitten herder, Mr. Richard Avery. Do you realize that I come up with these off the top of my head just before I say them?
And they're amazing. They truly
every
are
so often, they're somewhat funny. I try.
They're amazing.
I put effort into this show.
that and a few other things.
Wow. So do you want to know how much effort I put into this show?
Please.
When we have an amazing guest, I put in that effort to have that guest come back.
Well, you know, you do usually pay them to come back. So, yeah, that's
wait,
effort.
Wait, whoa. I don't pay anybody. Are you paying them?
No.
I'm not getting paid for this.
No. Go ahead.
Just so you know, nobody gets paid here at More with Mo.
Exactly. We're a nonprofit organization.
So our last conversation we had with this guest was all about bondage.
Yes.
And I think we really tied things up in the end very well. Sorry, I'm now laughing at myself. So today I brought back Lord Morpheus.
.com again.
Oh.
There you go.
Welcome back.
Thanks, guys.
He's really good at this plugging thing.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Are you having a seizure?
No, I was clapping. That was the audience. We have a live audience here. Yeah, see?
And our live audience on cue was about 5 seconds late.
It's okay.
But still she's charming, though.
Great yeah, legs. She's kind of pretty.
Yeah, great. It's not me.
Yeah.
Not me.
I know. I have my legs shut. Yeah. So, Mr. Morpheus.
Hi. Thanks a lot for having me back.
No.
Is
no,
that
no,
Mr. or Lord Morpheus?
Lord Morpheus.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
You can't be like Mr.
Morpheus. I was kind of feeling like Lord of the Rings or Game of Thrones here, okay. So I went with Mr. because I felt it was still respectful.
Can I give you the story about how I became Lord Morpheus?
Yes, please.
Because you were once the king got demoted?
I have tried so hard to drop the Lord from the Morpheus part.
Yeah.
I tried for years and no one would let me. People just continued to refer to me as Lord. Anyways, the short story is that probably around 98, 99, I was going to register a URL because I was going to have a site for pretty girls that are tied up. Morpheus.com had been taken, and I had never done this before, so I had all these browser windows open. I had my credit card, and I was so panicked that I was going to lose all my stuff because something might time out. I needed an extra name in the front, a prefix. And I thought, well, king, no, master, are we pretentious? So, Lord, I guess I'll be LordMorpheus.com. And it has stuck to this day, 17 years later.
I tell you, that's the same. I had the same process with Julie Land.
Did you?
Yeah, because my partner, Julie Ashton, she already owned Club Julie, which I hate fucking club shit. So she's like, I have Club Julie. I go, fuck clubs. We're bigger than a club. So I went around going, we'll be a gang, Julie. No, we'll be, like, it kept into these dumb things. Like, we'll do this and do that. And then one night, I'm sitting, this is the next night after I got fucking wasted with her and literally came up with the whole idea. I'm sitting at home, like, lying in bed, just, like, half asleep, and I'm watching, all of a sudden, a commercial for Disneyland comes up, and I kind of go, Disneyland, Julie Land. And I called her the next day, and I said, Julie, Disney. And she was like, that's really cool. And,
nice,
and,
done.
Oh, yeah? I can top that.
Okay.
I was on Twitter, and I decided I wanted a Twitter name.
Oh.
And my stage name was Mo.
Right.
Unfortunately, @Mo was unavailable. So I, in all my great porn wisdom, decided to add XXX to the end of my name.
Well, I thought you
Four
were
4 years later, I am Mox. People yell my name across events. Mox! And I'm like, just ignore them.
I thought you were going to come up with the whole, where the average Mo came from, because I thought that was from the fact that every time you had sex, the girl said, wow, that was average. No?
And can That's we can we inset? Wow.
Game, set, match.
Wow.
Get to the point.
No, it's fine.
Better
it's fine.
Than being Mr. Adequate.
Yeah. I'm fine with being average. I'm just fine.
You know, I want to be average.
Don't you wish you could be average?
I'm trying.
You're an average guy.
No.
You have a not so average job.
I'm way below average.
I'm a C. Okay, now we've gotten way off topic, and this happens from time to time on More with Mo. Today, we want to talk about, you came back in, you have an event that's coming up.
We have a really, really great event coming up, and it's called MBE.
MBE, what does that stand for?
Morpheus's Bondage Extravaganza.
I knew you were going to explain that, but I felt that it was my place to need to put it up.
Is this like bondage, like Lollapalooza of bondage?
Pretty much, yeah.
Awesome.
The website is mbeworldwide.com, and what it is, it's the world's largest public bondage event, and it's all free, mm-hmm. and we do it through all volunteers and private fundraising in order to make show the beauty of rope bondage across the world. we started it a very long time ago, probably about 8 years. This is our eighth year. And it started off as a street level event during an event called Nuit Blanche in Toronto. Nuit Blanche is an all night art event. It happens around the world.
I'm sorry, what?
Nuit Blanche, which means a sleepless night.
Okay, cool. So it's about
putting art in like non-traditional spaces. You got art in gas stations or car washes or on the street. And I applied thinking, hey, I want, you know, this is totally outside the box. This totally fits. And they rejected me. Actually, they didn't reject me. They didn't even answer my letter. Right. And so I decided I was going to get a storefront and do it on the exact same night, just outside the core, the downtown core, so I wouldn't get in trouble because it was outside the boundaries of Nuit Blanche. And lo and behold, we did it for about 5 hours, and we had about three or four different riggers show up and a bunch of our friends, and we tied pretty girls in this storefront window, and we had like a 45-minute line for people to come in to see what we were doing. And the next year, we did the same thing, and they still didn't answer my letter.
Right.
And it got a little bit bigger. Now, we had an hour lineup outside the door. And then it got a little bit bigger, a little bit bigger. And now it runs from 7 o'clock in the evening to 7 a.m., 12 hours straight. This year, I think we have 270 volunteers, and we're spanning three different cities in North America.
The first one's where now?
So this year, it always happens on October 4th, the first Saturday in October, which is when Nuit Blanche in Toronto happens.
Okay.
But this year, we're doing something a little bit different because Peter Ackworth at kink.com is very, very gracious, and he's very supportive of the bondage community because it's a community event. This isn't a kink.com thing.
Right.
This is kink.com in the armory supporting a bondage event for the people.
Right.
And that's going to be on September 27th.
Okay.
And
in San Francisco.
San Francisco at the Armory. The doors will be open. People will be able to come and see what happens. It's all going to be held, I believe, upstairs in the upper floor. And I think that'll also be a chance for probably a first time for the public, a lot of the public, to be able to get a chance to go up there and see. So we'll have different rigging stations. And I believe we have enough performers that there'll probably be about somewhere between probably 10 and 15 different rigging stations, and it'll be continuous all night long. And people come and go, the ebb and the flow of the crowd. Right. I'll perform about three times, and it'll be a lot of fun. Usually performers are on for about an hour, hour and a half at a time, and an hour and a half of rigging can be exhausting.
Yep.
It's demanding. I only have about three scenes in me, like about three different sets, so I'll do mine about 7, 10 and midnight, and then I'll be done, and then I'll just kind of kick back and
watch. If I can go, I want to go up there because I love. First of all, I love kink, and I love everything they do up there, and all that crazy stuff.
Well, the San Francisco rope community they're really strong and they're great, and they're supported by Wiki Grounds and Psycho Kitty there, and we really love them. And you know, the fact that the Armory is supporting us is incredibly generous.
Yeah,
and we're really excited about that. So we're going to tape that, so it'll actually be live for people to come and see during Folsom Fair.
Right.
And then the following week, we do the Toronto performance and the same night, Orlando. And then we're going to take that feed, and it's all streamed live. It's all free. Just go through mbeworldwide.com. And then the San Francisco feed will play alongside the live feed in Toronto and Orlando. We had to do it that way because we wanted the Folsom people to have a chance to see. And it just happened to work out on the weekend before.
No, I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
I think it's a brilliant idea.
Well, thanks. The Woodshed in Orlando, they're a really great rope community. They're not as big as Toronto, but they're very sincere. And they have some really, really great riggers.
Is in downtown Orlando?
That's kind of on the outskirts. It's off Orange Blossom Trail. Cecil and Penguin, they run the joint.
Epcot
Center. I believe Lou Rubens was living there for about 3 years. He's a terrific, you know, he is a Western bondage master, and Lou is, I can't say enough good things about Lou, and so the Toronto event, which
you're tripping me out because I go to Orlando like once a year, to see Julie, and now when I know when I'm going to go back there, I'm going to contact you, and maybe you can contact them, and maybe I can go meet them, and
they've got a great space, they've got to have at least 6 or 7,000 square feet of a club space.
I didn't even know that. It's so weird.
It's kind of like a commercial area, and you wouldn't guess it from the outside, but inside they got a great community, good feel, lots of play equipment, and then the Toronto event, which is the flagship event. You know, I think last year when it was just Toronto, Orlando, I think we had 120 performers, plus we have volunteers on top of that. And this is all free. Like everybody, we had 75,000 viewers online last year. And it's all free because we want to keep it free. Keep it banner free, keep it advertising free. We do our own private fundraising. We have some very generous sponsors. And it's really to showcase the art of it all.
Right.
Yeah. And that's how many people come up in Canada?
Usually we have... During the event, we have anywhere between 3,000 and 3,500 people walk through the event, and then, of course, the live stream feed.
That is essentially the entire country that has traveled to Toronto. from the Yukon.
You know, that's like the entire city of Ottawa.
They came all the way from way up north.
That's like from Saskatchewan.
Saskatoon, eh? Yeah. Regina. Regina, Saskatchewan. That's a funny name for a city. You know, actually, we had so many people come through our event last year that we started a new little program. We have something called Greeter Kitties, which are very cute girls that are dressed in latex that greet you at the door. As like, you know, if you're a civilian or a vanilla person that's not, doesn't know a lot about kink, and they dress in these adorable little outfits, and they explain to you what you're about to see. And they're going to talk about consent, they're going to talk about safety, and they talk about, you know, why it is that we do this. And they have little placards to hand out, little cards that say, this is where you can find it in the city, and they look adorable. And my princess, she's one of the, she's the head greeter kitty. She'd actually go to other clubs down the street and waggle her little tail, because it had like a little inflatable tail. And she'd lead people out of the club to come and see us.
That's awesome. You know, I went to see the show Cats up in Seattle at the Paramount Theater. And one of the cats came down off the stage and sat on my lap.
Wow.
I was young. I was impressionable. I didn't know how to react
to
that.
Did you get a boner?
I did not get a boner.
I would hope so. Well, I hope it was like...
I can
imagine the actor sitting down all of a sudden, ding, and you're like, she's like, never mind.
It'll be $20, sir.
Exactly. So,
and a rap dance.
And a beer.
Right. So we're not going to make it to Toronto or Orlando, but Alex and I want to make the drive up. I'm driving.
To San Francisco.
To San Francisco. Well,
you better drive, because she might hit a wall.
And I've actually, I've never actually visited Kink before, but I know Peter Ackworth through... Through the Free Speech Coalition. Yeah. So I know him through that, and so he's always been very welcoming whenever you come up. So I think this will be really cool to go up and meet and be able to see on a different level than just going up and filming.
Can you rig it so he gets tied up and they put a butt plug in him?
Whoa. Why does this have to go there?
Boundaries.
I'm not feeling good about this.
Look, the kink does all sorts of gay sides. You'd love it.
Yeah, they aboundgods.com and all that stuff.
You know, if we had video right now, people would see the average Mo face. It's not a pleasant face. We know where it is. We know how this all came out. I guess the biggest question is you all these people come together, and my question is, who are they and why?
That is absolutely the most flattering part. So when I started this, it was just about three or four of us. And Rope Bondage didn't really have a big foothold in Toronto. It was like, this is kind of what we do. And it was like three of us. Three of my buddies.
You're the Boy Scouts.
The kinky ones, exactly. We didn't get kicked out.
Okay.
I refused to go. But
exactly.
At least you got kicked out.
I could just see you guys like three Boy Scouts going, let's go tie up a Girl Scout.
So what happened is we started doing it, and word got around the rope community, which tends to be a smallish world. Everybody kind of sort of knows everybody. And then we had people from the States saying, hey, do you mind if I come up and perform? Because that sounds really cool.
Yeah.
Like the second or third year. I think the third year in, somebody wanted to do a documentary on us. And, Dylan from kink.com, Dylan Ryan. She was living in Toronto. Yeah. She was doing her MA, and she came and performed. And they used her as the anchor of this documentary. And that really gave us some momentum, and she's an absolute doll. And
blonde hair, right?
Yep, blonde hair. Sure, blonde hair. Real professional.
Yep.
And she, that really gave us some momentum. So the next year, like, more Americans applied. And then the following year, we had Europeans apply. And then the following year, we had people from Japan apply.
Wow.
And now, if you go to mbeworldwide.com, we actually have, you know, an application form for volunteers and for performers. And it goes up usually in March or April. And then we have a committee. I actually have a committee that sorts through all this stuff. And, you know, you have to have references. You have to provide references. Right. You have to show that you're safe and you know what you're doing. And it's a very fine line, because what we don't want it to be is come see all the best bondage experts in the world, because that will dissuade the young people or the new people to the scene from performing. So we want to have a mix. We want to make sure that people that have just started out but have a solid base feel like they can come and be a part of
it
instead of, and some people will come and they'll be a volunteer for a year or two first, and then they'll want to try and rig, and that's perfectly fine and acceptable.
Yeah.
You know, the level of talent that I see sometimes when I'm walking around the event, and I go, oh my God, I'm glad my name's on this, because if my application would never get approved.
I'm sure at this point, from when you started doing this to do like rigging and to where it is now, I'm sure it's just like exploded.
Yeah,
and
the
I'm
internet sure, just, you know, over the past eight years.
And just the talented of riggers, where you get to the point where it's kind of like the way I think about sometimes, like, it's just, it's amazing. There's like more, like you said, there's like three of us at the beginning, yeah. and now there's like 300 of us that are, you know, it's like, it's yeah. amazing.
We've got 270 performers this year. Wow. And you know what else happens a lot, or what helps a lot, is an event in May that happens in Chicago called ShibariCon. It's been running for over 10 years, and wow. it started off very small as a rope bondage convention where people could go and they could learn from and exchange ideas. And that really, you know, that's been a cornerstone of the American learning scene. And then all of a sudden more conferences would pop up, and now they're in Dallas. There's right. one called Bondage Expo Dallas, and they're all over. So yeah. instead of just being like one workshop at like a Test Fest, now there's rope bondage
yeah.
conventions where people get together and they tie each other up and when they share all these great ideas. And you know, when we started, the learning curve starts slow, right? Because we're still trying to figure things out. My personal experience was in the 90s. I was a whitewater rescue technician on the Ottawa River for a couple of summers. And that's where I learned hauling systems and vertical and horizontal rope rescue. So I had a fundamental understanding of vectors and hauling. Right. So I just applied that to my rope bondage. And that was great. People would come to me and say, I want to learn how to do suspension. I'm like, well, go take a rock climbing course. Yeah. And then come back and we'll talk. Learn how to set all your points right. and then we'll talk. So... But now there's people, the collective information, collective knowledge has increased exponentially. And, you know, with it, there's still a higher risk factor. Some people, there's these very big debates that you'll find online about what's safe and what's not safe. Yeah. And for me, I tend to be a little bit more conservative in yeah. As I get a little bit older, because I want to be able to do this all the time. I want to have somebody come to me and say, hey, let's do some time right. tying up. And I want them to feel safe and comfortable. I want their limits maybe to be pushed, but not to the point of nerve damage. And,
right.
and I'm not out there to try and make a name for myself. I don't want to do something extreme just so people will talk about me. That's not what I'm about. I want to be able to have girls come back to me and say, that was a lot of fun. Let's do it again.
Yeah.
I mean, Alex Chance is a perfect example of that.
Well, I mean,
that girl gets more plugs on this show.
And in her she butt. Must get- we did a shoot where we tied an anal plug into her.
You know, she won't let me do that at home. I have the dull scissors and a bundle of yarn. I have like a thing of yarn and she just looks at me and says, no. And I'm like, what am I paying you for?
There's nothing wrong with yarn. Yarn is a really easy way to get into bondage. And if you use acrylic yarn, it won't shrink when it gets wet. So you could do it in the bathtub. Or in the shower.
Tip of the day.
Yeah, tip of the day. Acrylic
yarn. I love latex tape.
I still need to have my little...
That's my thing.
...kindergarten scissors, though.
I like... Oh, that. Yeah, you got to have scissors.
I'm all about latex tape. That's my thing.
I love that stuff. That's great.
You know,
it's easy, and there's no residue on your body. You know, when I first started doing rope bondage, it was just about getting the girl tied up so I could do stuff to her. Because right. I'm from the lifestyle.
No, yeah. It's the same thing. Like, but I love wrapping girls up. I've done some videos... Where you wrap the girls up and
that looks sexy. Doesn't there something really sexy about a beautifully bound woman?
And then she's all and then I give them orgasms, and then I'm always like, yeah. I'm all like, all right, now pay me. And
they're
like,
give them shit. Get out of here. You don't give them shit. They take care of themselves. That's how it happens.
Shit. I got videos shit. To prove it.
Shit, I got videos. Yeah, no, yo, not that kind of show. Not that kind of
I'm
show.
I'm sorry.
So that's what I was gonna say is I personally, it doesn't for my personal sex life, doesn't interest me.
Yeah.
I'm pretty, when it comes down to it, pretty vanilla. I like having sex.
That's great.
I have some kinky ideas, things like that. Yeah. But when it comes to, I don't want to put that much production into at home sex, things like that. Then there's the photographer side of me. I don't like putting in an effort, okay?
I just getting started. I'm tired. It's time for bed. Never mind. Let's not do this. Let's do this another day.
Are you kidding? That's what we do.
That's why I'm worn out.
I'm an old man. Yeah. But for me, in my personal life, is not really my thing. But the photographer in me sees your work and sees that kind of stuff where I go, I want to shoot that.
You get
I find
pattern
it to be,
and texture and line.
And it's beautiful. And, yeah. and you get color. You get all that. You live more of the lifestyle. Of this. Mm-hmm. So with your partners, you know, over the years, is it kind of a requirement that you can tie them up?
No, here it is. Essentially, all women want to feel beautiful. They mm-hmm. want to feel beautiful if they're going to share themselves with somebody. Mm-hmm. And sometimes tying them up is like wrapping a present. Mm-hmm. So you get to spend a lot of time and a lot of attention, and it can be a very soft and seductive thing. It can be very hard and ouchy. It really depends on the person. But at the end of the day, I mean, the rope is just a vehicle to get that connection and make that person feel that you're interested in them, you're involved in them, and you share that space. That space that you're involved with, nothing else matters except for them. And that's intimacy. Isn't that what intimacy is all about? It could be a back scratch. It could be being tied up in a strappado. It's really about making them beautiful.
I always thought it was about cash.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's number two. Stop. That's two in the list.
I gotta stop working.
I just got engaged, so I've learned that.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go.
Now it's all about the ring.
Because we're
it's all about cash.
Because you go through and it's Thursday night. And you've been watching some Food Network. It's 10 o'clock. You decide I'm going to bed.
Yeah.
We're going to bed. Hey, you want to have some sex? Okay, let's have some sex. Not that this is the conversation I have at home, but it's kind of. But
the answer is yes. The answer is always
tie her
yes.
Up. No, but I mean, then do you tie her up there? Is that something that happens sometimes. Every time, or no, is it just
You know what? Sex, the rope bondage can be for photography. It can be just for a fun afternoon. Mm-hmm. I can kill a whole afternoon just tying somebody up and having fun. And sometimes, you want to tie somebody up and make them helpless so you can have sex with them.
I can yell at young kids on Call of Duty and kill a whole bunch of them, but they usually kill me. That's a Saturday afternoon for me.
I'm going to say that mine probably involves more boobs. Yeah.
I don't know. I have some pretty big boobs at home, and they are fun to play with. And there was one time where she blew me during Call of Duty, so it all worked out.
That's a keeper, man.
I don't know.
Did she make you a sandwich afterwards?
No. She cooks, but the problem is she doesn't clean afterwards. Now,
oh, come on. That's a sharing opportunity. She's going to cook for you. You got to take care of the
cleaning. Now, here's the question, though. As a good slave, shouldn't she also clean up after that? She cooks because she likes to cook, but it's like a tornado going through
that.
What
if she's a sex slave? What if that's her requirement, is that she provides you with sexual services that will blow your mind? The cooking is kind of secondary.
What if I could...
Some people would be happy to get Kraft dinner macaroni and cheese.
I was going
to
say...
I'm just thinking right now. Our next guest needs to be your therapist. We need to work these things out over the show.
No, I was just going to say, because I can jerk off to a clean kitchen, because, it's rare. So it's kind of like... It's like anal. It doesn't happen very much.
Well, wait a minute. Hang on.
It's
hang
a special on. Night.
Don't you edit at home? Aren't you home in the afternoon?
Not really, no. I'm at my office a lot if I'm home. I do edit. There is a video clip out there of me getting blown by Alex Chance while editing Alex Chance.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, no, it was a fun
video. I don't know how my brain would deal with that. This is a guy thing, right? I've always asked my other photographer friends, I say, can you masturbate to your own work? And for me, the answer is no. And every photographer I run into, like, no, because I'm looking at the lighting or I'm looking at the, I need a little bit more fill light there. It's too distracting because what happened.
They're probably too sober.
Yeah. You know what it is? There I think Richard Avery jerks off to all his work.
I don't jerk off to it. I just get fucking wasted.
As he's drinking with paint.
Drinking? It's sniff, sniff, snort, baby.
With pictures. Hey, you did a great job tonight.
That's how I shoot. Come on now.
Really?
You know that. Sniff, sniff, snort. That's our rule.
Wow. The show, you just took this right off the rails there. Right off the rails.
I'm going to sniff those rails.
I don't even know what platform we're on right now.
I don't know what we're... He's Canadian. Shh, be nice. Exactly. Wait. I do have to point out, I believe out of the how many thousands of episodes we've done of War with Mo, I believe the word ouchie has never been used. Ouchie. Please note, I was like, that could be the word of the day right now. And I think it's Canadian. I think it's a Canadian word. Ouchie.
Very good.
Well, Lord Morpheus.
Well, let me add one more.
Oh, please.
Thing.
Sorry. So I cut him off.
No,
I apologize.
So if people are listening that are interested in rope bondage and they've got my books, mm-hmm. and they watch MBE online, they think that they might want to be a volunteer. Mm-hmm. I mean, the application goes up in the springtime. And if you have a sincere interest and you have something to bring to the table and you want to pay your own airfare to come to Canada or, whatever, wherever else we're holding it, don't be shy. Like, it's really about the sincerity of the work. So if you're not an expert and you look at the stuff and you go, oh my God, I could never top that, you don't have to top it. Mm-hmm. As long as you have a lot of sincerity in your work, apply. Apply and try. Because I would never have had this entire beautiful event, which is actually helped created by my coordinator, Elle. Elle is spectacular. She's the senior cat herder. And we would have never done any of this without the volunteers and all the man hours that people put into it. And no one gets paid. Like, no one gets paid.
I was
going to
say, basically, you're just saying, if you got to start somewhere.
You got to start somewhere.
And this an event like this, not only will you're starting out, but you're going to meet all sorts of people who are going to give you advice and help and understand what you're trying to accomplish. And they're going to, it's like you said, this community get together.
Yeah.
I think it's awesome.
You're not alone.
If I can get up to San Francisco, I'm going.
Yeah. Kinky people sometimes grow up thinking that they're all alone, and they're not. There's lots of us out there. You just got to find them.
Exactly. Okay. I'm the alone one.
Okay. I guess it's a little late in the show, but I do have to confess, I actually do have a book at home.
I think it's called The Art of Japanese Bondage.
Oh.
That I've had for about a decade, I think. I think that's what it is. And
I have a book too.
I used to be kind of a little bit more into the art of it. So I do have to be honest that it is something that I have had an interest in. So
yeah, but it's the other.
I joke about the yarn.
But that book is next to your other book, Green Eggs and Ham.
It could be. Actually, no. It's next to my collection of books of costume jewelry that I shot. Because the average beau used to shoot product. Crappy product.
That's probably awesome for the first 2 days.
So, there we go. Well, Morpheus, thank you so much
for coming out again. It's really a pleasure coming in. I'm an avid listener.
You're one of the four listeners, and we appreciate all four of you coming out to listen. Where can we find you on the interwebs?
So you can find mbeworldwide.com, and you can find me at lordmorpheus.com, and shoot me an email if you have a question. I always answer questions that are forwarded to me. It's not like some social media girl. I always answer my own mail.
And they should definitely follow you on Twitter because you post all sorts
of
hot
Twitter,
images.
I have hot girls all tied up on Twitter. I'm on Instagram, Tumblr, all those social media platforms.
And it's at Lord Morpheus?
Most of them.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. My name is Maurice. More with Mo is brought to you by JulieLand.com. You can find me on Twitter at MoXXX or Mox. Now, I guess Mr. Avery likes to call me. You can also check out my amazing blog, TheAverageMo.com, sponsored in part by JulieLand.com, where you can see all sorts of great photos, videos, top 10 lists, and this show. Thanks for listening.